pro-life activist or whatever title you want to put, I've recently had to come to terms with that we have lost the battle. Doesn't mean we've lost the war. And the reason for it is real simple, I believe, is that the battle, we took the battle to the political arena when it was meant to be fought in the spiritual arena. And we need to repent of that. In the 1950s, when Billy Graham showed up in New York, the Great Crusade, the Empire State Building, which lights up all the time, every night lights up. And so, for example, when you have Halloween, you get black and orange, you know, or it's probably red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. When Billy Graham showed up in the 1950s, the Empire State Building was covered with crosses because he was here, and this crusade went on. And the result of that crusade in the 1950s, literally thousands of people came to know the Lord. And you can walk around and with pastors in New York my age, a lot of them came to the Lord through that crusade. And, you know, now retired, but served the church for a generation. Right prior to the legalization of same-sex marriages, about 2 weeks earlier, the Empire State Building was lit up with a slideshow kind of thing of endangered species. So tigers and, you know. And it went on for a while. And the end of the show was the Empire State Building lit up almost half of the building with the face of the goddess Kali, who's the goddess of death, all over New York City. I want you to think of that as the Empire State Building, which is no longer the largest building in the world. But Empire, if you go anywhere in the world and somebody's been to New York, they have a little green statue of the Empire State Building. I'd say Bishop Moses has one, and it's down in Massachusetts, this little green statue. It's a sign of something, isn't it? It's a sign of our nation. And here's this voice going out, and nobody winked an eye. And I can tell you, if we had gone the next week and said it's Easter, put up a cross, it wouldn't have happened. 2 weeks later, the Empire State Building, Freedom Tower, which, by the way, we can't call Freedom Tower. We have to call it. They won't allow us to do that anymore. And several buildings were lit up with the rainbow flag. Celebration, including our White House. The only time in history that the White House has been lit for anything. And we need to understand, if I have anything to say to you, if you feel like you're at war, you're at war. And if you don't feel like you're at war, you're a prisoner of war. And if you get out in the battle, you're going to get wounded. You're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. We are dealing with a shift that's taken place. And if we don't understand that shift, you'll be totally ineffective. You don't understand the brainwashing that has gone on in our children in the last 40 years by the public educational system, by universities, that we have sent our kids to in order that they may be happy and have a happy life. You understand that 90% of college professors are members and donors to the Democratic Party. 90%. Now, I'm not saying Democrats are evil or whatever, but there's their mindset. That's the mindset. And see, we have said what we're going to be is strong constitutionalists. We got to interpret the Constitution the way it was intended. The problem is we've eliminated the moral foundation on which the Constitution is based. And therefore, when same-sex marriage went before the Supreme Court, there was no way that that was not going to be made legal. Because the interpretation of the Constitution is that, new interpretation is that freedom is the right to do anything you want. But that's not the intent of the founders. There was a moral foundation. And we need to understand that that's the battle we're facing. And that's why we keep losing. Because we're trying to fight it in the political arena and not in the spiritual arena. And if I could say anything, encourage you to leave here, is get back in the spiritual arena. Human dignity and worth come from God, not the Constitution. Not from the government. They come from God. The founders understood that God gave us our rights. And as I said yesterday, that began to change. It was a slow process, but began to happen in the 19th century when we began to see philosophers and thinkers saying, no, it comes from man. That we moved from a God-centered worldview to a man-centered worldview. And then we said yesterday, you saw the Nuremberg trials, where it was an attack, Hitler's attack and Stalin's attack, and Mao Zedong's attack were on the people of God. They had to eliminate the people of God. They had to silence the clergy. And they knew if they didn't do that, they wouldn't succeed. Because they were changing the very center of how we see things. And they wanted people to believe that all their freedom, all their worth, all their dignity, all their rights, all their possessions came from man, not from God. You can substitute government in there, but that's really not the issue. That's back in the political arena. See, if we start to think, well, if we just change the government, if we just get the government right, if we get the right guy, then he'll appoint Justice Kennedy or Sandra Day O'Connor, who blocked every piece of pro-life legislation that ever came before them. Understand? Not in the government arena. It's in the hearts of man. See? Jesus is the way. Do we believe that? That Jesus is the way. And so come to the word that's prepared. So in the 60s, we had that movement. Then in the 60s, which we're just celebrating right now, we're celebrating the outcome of the 60s. Everything that's happened in the last generation, 40 years, was what was being advocated in the 60s, including the legalization of marijuana. Why is marijuana being legalized? Because the people who were smoking it in the 60s are now in power. See, when Bill Clinton got up and said he didn't inhale, all of us from the 60s went, liar, liar, pants on fire. But when Barack Obama said, I use cocaine, yeah, that's okay. Why? Because we did cocaine. So the generation wasn't upset about that. And people run around, because they weren't upset about it. You had a bunch of potheads. Every agenda item is one generation. Understand that. Because if you understand that, I'm going to tell you the good news. We're going to change it in one generation. Yes. We're going to have, God's going to act. God's going to move. God's going to hear the cries of his people as they repent of their wickedness and turn to him and seek his face and humble themselves, and he'll heal the land. Amen. He will heal the land. He will heal the land. Gotta get that deep down inside of us and understand that shift. You can't stand up anymore and say the Bible says. If you're fighting on that level, you're going to lose. Because there's a generation out there, they don't believe the Bible's the authoritative word of God. They've been taught that it's not the authoritative word of God. They're being taught that the Quran is the same and equal to, if not better than, the Bible, because Islam is a religion of peace and Christianity has caused wars. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Talk to your kids. Talk to what they're being taught in health education. So you got to tell your people, get your kids, send a note, I don't want my kids to take health education. I remember back when my daughter, I think it was Katie, was in school. She came home, and there was this letter. This was during the middle of the AIDS thing. And the letter said that they were going to teach kids about AIDS and how to prevent it, which was kind of slang for how to put a condom on. And it was middle school. But if we objected, we could take our kids out of that class. Imagine, they wouldn't even send a letter now. So I objected. I said, no, I don't want to do that. In a town, I was living in Freeport Town. I got a call from the superintendent of schools. I was the only parent in the entire village of 50-some thousand people that objected to my daughter being taught. There's got to be more than one Christian in that village. You would think. So the superintendent said, well, it's really not, you don't really have to be concerned. I mean, it's like, we're just treating it like, you know, this is how to brush your teeth. And I said, I don't want you to teach her that either. And he said, what do you mean? I'll teach her how to brush her teeth. Amen. I'm called the father, you're called the superintendent of schools. Amen. I'd like you to teach her how to add and spell. I don't want you to teach her how to have self-worth. I don't want to teach her how to get in touch with her feelings. I don't want to teach none of that. I'll teach her that. You just teach them. Now they won't ask. And that shift is taking place. It's a battlefield. And so you get those kids for 1 hour, if that, a week. And then the media. The celebrities. See, I don't think they should maybe not make gay marriage illegal, but they certainly should make celebrity marriage illegal. So here's kind of the age of Aquarius is here, and you have a rebellious generation. A rebellious generation, which had themes like question all authority. Don't trust anybody over 30. Now in power. Now running the universities, running the government. And those values are governing America today. It's a shift. See, that uniqueness of the revolution, that issue that freedom comes from God, we need to understand that because that has changed dramatically, dramatically. The greatest generation came back, and God bless them. I love the greatest generation. They're all dying now. And thank God they went and fought that evil. And they said, I joined a country club of clergymen years and years ago. And so I'd go early in the morning and to play golf so I could get into the office. And they'd hook me up with the old timers, World War II guys. And they were just a blessing. But there was only, at the first tee, they had talked about three things. Every time they get together, and the first item on the consensus was how their various artificial joints were doing. Like, how's your hip? How's your elbow? How's your rotator cuff? The second was, what are the best early bird special restaurants in Florida? And third, did you have a good ball movement? And then we'd play golf. I turned to Kathy and I said, if I ever bring that topic up, just shoot me. Any one of those. But as I'm getting older, those are really important things. But they're a great generation. But they did a lot because they believe that they could defeat evil. But they believed they could do it on their own. And so they created schools, and this whole island is a result of that generation. They went out to put a man on the moon. But it was all generated from man. It was all came out of man can make a better place. In fact, they even invented the phrase better living through chemistry. And everything was, we're the most prosperous, we're the blessed, and we've done it. And if we just keep together, we can change it and we can make it happen. The other thing that happened was in the midst of that, and the baby boomers growing up, at the end of the baby boomers growing up, when baby boomers reached adulthood in the 60s, 16, 17, 18, that's when we all came to age. And a sexual revolution began to take place, and a woman became very popular. In fact, one of our presidential candidates is delighted that she has received an award named after this woman. Her name is Margaret Sanger. Do I say more? And we became, one of the concerns became that there wasn't enough land or resources for all the babies. So the baby boomers were having babies left and right. Babies were everywhere. In fact, having babies was a good thing. But the baby boomers themselves somehow got in their head that there's too many of us. And if we keep having babies, then we won't be able to have all the nice things that we're supposed to have, and we won't be happy. Children won't make you happy, that you've got to pay for them. You've got to feed them and clothe them. And you've got to live for them. Our parents said, we did everything for you. So the boomers began to believe that it was about them. And babies would get in the way of being who you were supposed to be. And so you had to plan them. And you had this phrase that came about called unwanted pregnancy. What in the world is that? Like we didn't know how it happened. And so you get smaller became better. Smaller was better. Two was the perfect family. You could be happy with two. You can afford two. See, if you have two, then you can send each one of them to college to be happy. Because happiness is the ultimate goal. The good life. What is the good life? Do you know that people believe, generations believe, that if you don't own your own home, God doesn't love you? You're suffering. You're in terrible suffering if you don't own your own home. You are... Two cars. We all know we need two cars. Can't live without two cars. Can't survive without two cars. But if you have three kids, you can't afford two cars. Right? Can't afford to go to Disneyland, Disney World. See, if you have seven kids, you can't afford to go to Disney World, but if you have two, then you can take them all to Disney World because every child needs to experience Disney World. The Magic Kingdom. And Christians delight in it, even though Disney World is surrounded with witchcraft. Surrounded with witchcraft. But at that goal, so Martha Snyder comes along and you get, just ignore the fact that she was into eugenics and thought Hitler wasn't a bad guy. But at the bottom line was this same issue. We're going to replace God with man. Now, not only can we change the world and defeat evil, but we can determine how many children we're going to have. We'll take control of creation itself. And we will determine who are the good people to live and who doesn't deserve to live. Because we all know Down syndrome children are not going to have a happy life. You know that, right? We all know people that come out and have mental handicap are not going to be happy. So we have to test to make sure they don't have that and abort them. Because only happy children can live. And poor people aren't happy. Poor people aren't happy, so what we're going to do is help the poor people. See, we all know that people in Africa and the Philippines and Kenya, the reason they're poor, you know why the people are poor there? According to Margaret Sanger and others, because there's too many children. So if we just kill the children and teach them how to have only two, then poverty will end in the Philippines and in Africa. We just need to get control. We need to take creation away from the Creator. Do you understand? Let's not talk about how corrupt the governments are in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda. Like that doesn't have anything to do with poverty. There's plenty of food. I've been there. There's food all over Africa. There's resources there that haven't even been tapped. I haven't talked about. But the solution is we'll take over creation. We want to control creation itself and remove God. And so, along came Margaret Sanger, and one of the things she did back in 1955 is she underwrote with vast amounts of money research to create the first birth control pill. Didn't know that's where that came from, did you? And so in 1965, the Supreme Court, under a Republican, Earl Warren, in a decision called Griswold versus Connecticut, ruled that married couples, have the right to use birth control, the pill, and called it a right to privacy. It's a major decision. This war goes back. The attack is on the family. That's where the war's going on. Think of what the issues you're dealing with in your church. All have to do with the destruction of the family. Coming and attacking life itself. Attacking the very plan of God be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. Which is the same as go forth into all the world and make disciples. Be fruitful. And so it comes along, and orthodoxy remains somewhat silent on it. Protestants immediately changed their rules, their canons, or whatever governing portion. The Protestant church just went, yes, yes, birth control. It's okay now, family planning, birth control. In fact, one of the presiding bishops in the Episcopal Church was a board member of Planned Parenthood. The Episcopal Council celebrated Planned Parenthood and population control. The Methodists soon followed, the Presbyterians. The only ones who actually stood firm was Rome. Because they said, if you separate the sexual act from the potential of having a child, you're going to end up with hedonism. You're going to end up with a pleasure, selfish-oriented culture. That's their objection. And they've stood firm on it, although they're wavering now. You know, I had one priest friend of mine said, well, how do you deal with the fact that birth control, your women are using birth control. You know that, Father, don't you? He said, yeah, the change is I used to give them 10 Hail Marys. Now I only give them one. So even though it was still not canonically accepted, the whole church collapsed under that. Yeah, sure. We need to plan our families. We need to get control.